He is a great God and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. You know, God desires to have that glory so much so that at the ride down the mountain on what we call Palm Sunday was a day when they said to him, when all were singing hosannas to the highest and those mockers were there, and he said, tell them to be quiet. He said, if I told them to be quiet, the very stones would cry out. I imagine how it delights the heart of God when he hears the lips of his people praise him. I imagine that's a sweet savor to him. You know, in these past few days, we've been examining the book of the Psalms in the sense of the masculine. We've been looking at the masculine psalms and the exercises of heart that came from the psalmist as he examined them, or as we examined them, and he set forth the truth of the exercise of heart that he had. And after looking at most of them, had a chance today to look at the Savior. We had a chance at looking at the one who was crucified for us. And we had a chance of looking at the resurrected Lord and the precious message of the gospel. And I thought these lives of ours are to be lived out here now. We've been, so to speak, at the mountaintop. We've seen a risen, glorified Lord. And now some have mentioned the conference is at an end. And we're going to go back again, some to our homes, some to the daily business, and some to the task that's set before us. And we're going to take it up and we'll remember the joyous times we had together in the Word of God. But in our remembrance of these times, I trust we will remember that He wanted to hear our voice, that He wants us to commune with Him. We saw this morning early how that He wanted the communication with His disciples, so much so that He appeared to them in resurrection glory. That He appeared to the two on the Emmaus Road, to Mary, to Peter, to the 11, and then to those as they were out fishing. He manifested Himself to them in every way. He showed them that He was a living man, that He was flesh and bone, and that they had Him to look forward to meeting one day. But He also showed them He wanted communication with them. That He wasn't just some spirit floating around in the universe. He was a real man, the God-man. And in this being, He wanted fellowship with them. And He wanted our prayers. He wanted communication with us. Oh, I thought Mr. Willie was going to, so to speak, steal my thunder tonight. Because he started going on the subject of answered prayer. I'd like to look at it in the sense of delayed answers to prayer. Many times as we walk and we enter into the exercises of the psalm, and we listen to how that psalmist cried. When he got to the end of the psalm, he turned again to the Lord. And we say there was something in this exercise that brought him peace and a sense of reliance upon the Lord. When he was cast down, he could say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And then he answered, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of his countenance. Oh, you see, there was something in the exercise that drew him up. And there's something that God desires in the exercise of prayer to draw us out. There perhaps are several reasons why prayer is hindered in its answer. I'd like to look at one instance found in the book of Matthew in chapter 15 of one that the Lord dealt with as she had a burden on her heart. And that bringing that burden to him, he drew her out. He drew her out. And my, what gain was hers. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, there are many reasons, perhaps in personal exercises, as we go along in the exercise of prayer, why we do not get an immediate answer to our prayer. Sometimes our own lives hinder an answer to a prayer. You know, the psalmist would say, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think we must start that in that place first. Before we can go on, we must have the understanding that there's one thing that severs the lines of communication to God. For prayer is the whisper of a crying heart. And when sin stands in the position of being in the heart and the life of the believer, that communication is hindered. And it's hindered for a reason. Because God wants to deal with His little one. Having had four children, God's given me a little understanding of what I think this means. Sometimes as my older boys were being raised and growing up, and they did something displeasing to their father, they could see that the fellowship was severed. And that things just didn't stand the same with dad as they did before. And then when they recognized the wrong, and they came and said, Dad, I'm sorry. Oh, then the fellowship was restored. And the relationship between father and son continued on, but the fellowship went back to the sweet place that it stood before, you see. They were always my sons, and praise God, always will be. They're a delight to my heart. But now when I think of it in the heavenly light, and I think of heavenly children of God, as sometimes we do those things that are displeasing to Him, and the line of communication, the fellowship, is severed. That's why He made it plain in His Word that if we were to confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we can go on in the exercise of prayer. I know it's not sin hindering. Oh, you see, that must be first. When the delay isn't there, when the delay is there and the answer doesn't come, then there's perhaps that questioning. Is it because of sin? And we sit down and begin to examine the life. And when we find that that's not the reason, perhaps then we can enter in to some of the other exercises. Sometimes God answers prayer immediately. But you know, an immediate answer to a prayer does not draw us out. An immediate answer to a prayer is just giving us our request. Sometimes my children say to me, Dad, can I have this or that? And I say, sure, and I give it to them. But sometimes I don't give it to them, and you know what they do? They keep coming back, hey, Dad, how about it? You see, there is a desire, and it is drawing that desire that God wants out of His children. He wants us drawn to Him. Oh, I can think of many times, our brethren who run conference grounds, and some of you who have been in the Lord's work, I'm sure, have seen God answer prayer immediately so many times. Few instances come to mind. Not regards to money, although He's done that in conference work many times. I've seen the times at camp as well when in the morning he answered before I ever called. I took and sat down and wrote a letter looking for someone to come as a cook or something like this to camp and needing some staff, and then walked out to the mailbox, and I'd mailed that letter in town, and when the mail got into the mailbox that morning and I pulled it out, there was an answer to a letter I just got through writing. How could it be? Oh, you see, that'll bring my heart to praise. That encourages my heart, but he's interested in drawing me out. I can think of many times, one time not too long ago, in a little thing. You know, it pleases my heart in the little things God gives us. We were in the city of Waterloo, and I was having gospel meetings with our brother Milo Vanderkral, and we were going around knocking on doors, visiting people in the afternoon, and this particular afternoon, we had gone to four or five different homes, and they were miles apart, some way out in the country in farms. And we weren't able to make a single contact for some reason or other. Everybody was gone that day or something else. And we went back into town and went to this one lady's house. And we went in and knocked on the door, you know, not a soul home. We went back in that car and said, I said, Miles, something's wrong. We've been spinning our wheels this afternoon. Either we're not doing what God wants us to do, or he's trying to teach us something. Let's ask him. And you know, we dropped our heads in our hearts in that car seat right in that lady's backyard. And we no more and started to pray when I heard a car drive in alongside of us. And we finished. There was the lady of the house. And we went in and had a good visit with her that afternoon in the things of God. He supplied an immediate answer. There are many in the Word of God that God supplied immediate answers for. I think Abraham's servant, Eliezer, you know, when he went out for Rebekah. And he was standing there and talking to the Lord, and he said, well, Lord, when that maid comes along, and he said, I ask her to let her down her pitcher and give me a little drink. He says, if she says to me, all right, I'll give you some water and I'll water your camels also. Well, then, Lord, that's the one I know. That's for Isaac. And he said, he lifted up his eyes and here comes the maid walking right to him. He got the answer. She said just exactly what he had asked God for. He was sent on a particular mission. He was sent by his master to bring back a bride for Isaac, and God honored his request and gave it to him. He received an immediate answer. And then I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was serving the king, wasn't he? And he was kind of downcast in the morning, and the king said, what's the matter with you, Nehemiah? Quite a long face. Are you sick? No, I'm not sick. Well, what's the matter? Well, he said, why shouldn't I be downhearted when the city of the sepulcher of my father has gone to waste and the gates are burnt? And he said, well, what do you want to do about it, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah said, I set up a quick prayer. Oh boy, he had the right idea. He said, Lord, what do I do? And so when he got the answer, he turned to the king. And you know, the king said to him, well, how long are you going to be gone, Nehemiah, when you're coming back? You got an answer just like that. My, those things really thrill our heart when he gives us that immediate answer to prayer. Sometimes we're struck in the way and we're trying and trying and trying. I can recall one day at Lake Geneva, we had a great big old boiler. It was 10 sections. And I wanted to take it apart and move it to another building. You know, sometimes camp directors and camp managers are just like Nehemiah. They got to rebuild all the gates and everything else in the camp. Well, this day we were going out and we were trying to move that boiler. And you know, you take a wedge and you put it between the sections of the boiler and you beat it with a hammer. A sledgehammer, that is. And when you hit it, it's supposed to pop apart. Well, we got the first two or three sections off that 10-section boiler. And boy, we're standing there beating and beating and beating, and that thing wasn't coming apart. And I looked at Paul, I said, Paul, something's wrong. It's supposed to come apart, that's what the book said anyhow. So I said, Paul, we're wasting our time and we don't have much to waste. I was a dingy old hole down under that building, wet and damp in the floor. Paul says, you're right, Ray, let's pray. We got down on the floor on our knees and asked the Lord for some help. We got up and dropped that wedge between there and hit it with the sledgehammer and pop. Boy, I think he wanted to draw out our hearts. He wanted to give us an idea of his power, but his being mindful of our every individual need. He wanted to draw us up. Now, let's look for a moment at this particular woman as she was here in that day. You know, there's one reason why the Lord went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. You can read this. You don't find the Lord deals with anybody else. And we need to have that understanding. If the Lord is trying to draw us out, he's already gone a distance toward us. He's already moved in our direction. He already wants our heart. He's seeking our exercise. And he's gone to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on them, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Now this woman had an understanding in her heart that here was one who could supply her needs. She wasn't too sure about how going about it to get this need supplied. And she probably thought in her own mind, here's a Jew. He is an Israelite, so I'll take this title that's his. And she calls him, "Thou son of David." But she was a stranger to the promises and the covenants of Israel. She didn't have any right to make that claim to him. And so when she calls on him, "Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She let him know what her request was. She let him know what was wrong. Just as our brother Willie said, she was specific in what she was telling him. And as she was specific and giving him these instructions, he answered her, not a word, but she got an answer. Oh, you know, so many of us are, "What's the matter, Lord? My ear's plugged or something. I'm not hearing." But silence is sometimes an answer. In fact, it's all the time an answer. Otherwise, he'd say no. It may be wait a while. It may be a bit more exercise on your part. It may be draw closer to me. I want a sweeter fellowship with you. She got an answer. Her first answer was not a word. I wonder, beloved, have you been crying to God and the heavens seem silent and yet you haven't had a clear no? Keep calling. Keep calling. You know, she didn't give up like a lot of us sometimes do. "Well, I tried, I asked, and the Lord didn't answer." No, indeed. She felt sure she had an answer. The disciples said, "Lord, chase her away." She called again. And the disciples said, "Chase her away, Lord. She's troubling us. She's crying after us." But now she's drawn something out. And the Lord answers in words. Oh, they weren't the words that she was looking for, but she was encouraged by these words. He said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of the tribe of Israel." To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, "That's all I'm come for." And that woman that day, now she's encouraged because she's got him talking to her. And you see, that's what the Lord wants of us. When we call the first time, we might have a silence. It is an answer. And then he wants us to come again crying. If we really want something, we ask and ask and ask until we get what we receive. My children aren't as easily discouraged, I think, is what I am sometimes. When they're seeking something they want from their father, believe me, they'll come and come and come and come again until their father's going to give them a clear answer. And when they don't get an answer, they say, "Hey, Dad, you still haven't answered me." You see, that woman came because she was crying for an answer in behalf of her daughter. And now the Lord begins to communicate with her. He wants her to understand something. He said, "Well, I'm not sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Oh, what did it do to the woman's heart? Did she get angry and did she rebel? What's the matter with you? Can't you see I need help? No. I read that she worshiped him. She worshiped him. Has trial ever brought your heart to worship the love? Has it really? Well, you know, that's what God did to his children in Israel, didn't he? Remember when he took them out of the wilderness, or out of Egypt? He said, I want you 3 days journey into the wilderness. I was struck with reading that one day and I was scratching my head. Why did he want them 3 days journey in the wilderness? And then I decided, I wonder where they were in 3 days. So I began to search. You know where they were? Mara. The place of bitter waters. That's what he brought them to make them worship. Bitter waters. But you know what made him worship was when the tree was cut down and cast in and the waters were made sweet. Oh, beloved, when we're able to invoke the authority of Jesus Christ, that's when bitter waters will be made sweet for our hearts. That's when our hearts will be turned to worship. That's what he wanted out of his people, and that's what he wants out of his people today. A hindered prayer might be for the purpose of bringing worship to him. Well, you know, she led up a real good prayer. Matter of fact, one of the best prayers ever heard. Lord, help me. Oh, boy. We like to pray long prayers sometimes, you know. I know sometimes the kids watch the older brethren quite a bit. Some of them watch them praying with a clock. I heard one say, hey, that guy beat his old record. He prayed for 15 minutes. Oh, you know, I wonder sometimes if this is really prayer, if this is really calling upon God, or if it's a manner of preaching. I won't judge you, brother, if you do that. If it's communication with God in that sense, then I'll praise God for it. But you know, God hears short prayers. You remember Peter? I like Peter. I really do. He reminds me of my own nature. You know, Peter one day, he wanted to get out and do something the rest of the disciples didn't have the desire to do. Remember when they were in the boat? They saw the Lord walking on the water. Everybody always picks poor Peter apart for getting out there in his faith, failing him, taking his eyes off the Lord and going down. But I don't read there was any of those other 10, 11 disciples in that boat, 11 of them who wanted to walk on the water. Peter was the only one who wanted to be with the Lord at the cost of walking on it and at the price of maybe his faith failing. You want to walk close enough to him, you've got enough challenge, enough zeal in your own heart to say, Lord, bid me come to thee. Would you pray that prayer? Peter went, and Peter began to sing. Now, Peter could have done one or two things. Peter was a good swimmer. I got proof for that. After the Lord's resurrection, when they'd been fishing all night, and they're out in the boat, and he says, children, have you any meat? Remember that? John looks, and John says, it is the Lord. Peter said, oh boy, that's for me. Over the boat he goes. He went into that water, and he headed for shore. Peter wouldn't have done that if he couldn't swim. He was a good swimmer. So this night, Peter could have started to swim. But he didn't. Why? He had the Lord before. And whether you not think, whether or not you think Peter had weak faith, he had faith enough to believe that the Lord could save him. And he prayed a short prayer, Lord, save me, lest I perish. There'll not be a man or a woman in this audience that ever gets into heaven's glory unless you've cried that. And if life and the sea of it has great fear in your own heart and the judgment hereafter, oh, then I beg you tonight before these last minutes fly by to cry, Lord, save me, lest I perish. that woman that day as she was beside him. She prayed just a short prayer. Lord, help me. Oh, how many times I do it. How many times. That's the best prayer I know how to pray. Sometimes I sit in those front pews before getting up to speak. And my knees are knocking. Somebody was talking here the other night about butterflies in their stomach. I got a group of greyhounds running around all the time. And I have to say, oh, Lord, help me. If your children are to be fed, if there's bread enough and to spare, you have to give it to them. Lord, help me. Oh, you know. And he does. It's his bread, you see. The people are his. He's interested in the people. He's interested in feeding his sheep. But he's interested in drawing my heart toward him. Oh, beloved, that our hearts were like this dear woman. Lord, help me. Oh, I know. As I visit, I find so many burdens on the hearts of God's people today. And sometimes I go home or away from a house weeping within and without. It's wonderful to be able to pray, Lord, help. Because he's the helper of the helpless. That woman had been drawn out now. The Lord had began to communicate with her. And she made even that third request, Lord, help me. And he answered and says, not me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Oh, was he going to try her a little bit? See what kind of heart she had? Oh, she said, truth, Lord. That's what I am. She said, yet the dogs eat. The little dogs, the pets, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, I'll be satisfied with that. God had drawn her heart out. Christ had drawn her heart out. Just exactly what he wanted. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. He could have answered right in the beginning without ever taking the trouble to go to Tyre. He could have stayed right where he was and never even gone to Tyre and healed his daughter because he knew the daughter was sick. He was God. But he took the trouble to make the journey to Tyre, that he might draw out the heart of an individual woman in communication with him, that he might grant her her request and thereby have worship in her heart, glorifying himself. Sometimes he delays our prayers to draw us out. Sometimes he delays our prayers to glorify himself. You remember that when Lazarus was sick, and they bore the message to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stayed right where he was for several more days. But he told them, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God. I like that. There was a request sent, Lord, come. The one you love is sick. But he didn't go. He didn't have to go. He could have healed Lazarus right where he was. But he didn't. Not only didn't he heal him right where he was, he didn't bother to go as they wanted him to come, that they might have the comfort of his presence and that Lazarus might be healed. He didn't go. He waited several days. There was a delay in the answer of the prayer. Why? Because this was to be a sickness to the glory of God. Oh, beloved, think of what we'd have been robbed of if we hadn't seen him stand before that tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. We'd have never been able to view the power of that resurrection that's going to take a corrupted body and bring it to life. We have never seen that. Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. According to them, he already stinks. He delayed it that he might glorify himself. Paul, you'll remember, had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul prayed thrice. 3 times he asked of God that the thorn be removed. It wasn't sin that hindered Paul's prayer. And Paul did get an answer. But it wasn't the thorn taken away. His answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. His answer was, Paul, I want you to keep the thorn. And then Paul got the idea. He knew the thorn was there, lest I be lifted up above measure. Oh, you know, I'd shudder to think of what this old heart of mine would be had I ever been caught away to the third heaven. I shudder to think of what the pride of that heart of mine had turned me into. God wasn't ever going to permit that in Paul. He gave him a running sore. A running sore. I don't know what his thorn was. But I do know he didn't take it then at Paul's request. His request was answered by this, my grace is sufficient. His request would have been answered when he was taken. He would have been delivered from his affliction. A running sore is something that has a work. It brings a healing from the inside. Had a friend back home who had a misfortune of having a chainsaw chop away at his leg. When they sewed it up and tried to patch up the bone and put a cast on his leg, finally got a sore on his heel. Cast was taken off and the sore was on the heel. And he wanted the doctor to open it up. And the doctor said, no, I won't do it. He said, this has to heal from the inside. And he left it to heal from the inside. You know, beloved, sometimes our thorns, and some of you have literal thorns, are for the purpose of keeping us in the position of right fellowship with Him. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. Us walking in that near position of joy in Him. Oh, we recognize the weakness. That's what the thorn helps to do. But what glory to God when He takes that weakness and glorifies Himself in it. Do you have a thorn? Have you been crying to God? What's the answer been? Has it been my grace sufficient? Is it then I want the cleansing fires to burn away the dross? Perhaps that's God's purpose. May it have its full work in our lives. Sometimes He doesn't answer our prayers because we're so remiss in praying. It's easier to sit down and study than it is to pray. It's easier to go talk to people than it is to pray. It's easier to do the multitude of things that we have to do than it is to pray. And if every time we cried, Lord, and we got an answer immediately, we'd spend so little time in prayer. I want to take my brother's example tonight. What would it have been for him? I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about him. What would it have been for him if in the beginning or the middle of this conference he'd have had all the money he needed? His heart would have never been drawn out as God has drawn. There wouldn't have been that day by day, moment by moment, hour after hour of exercise, Lord. There are debts to pay.